Welcome one and all to another episode of The Damage Report with me, John Iadarola, and I've got a special treat for you on this Thursday. Actually, a few treats. Some of the news is just delicious and I can't wait to dive into it. But joining us for the first time ever on the program, a new guest, Mayor of Enfield, North Carolina, founder of the Black Male Voter Project, Mondale Robinson. Welcome to the show.
Yo, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Very excited to have you here. Very excited to have you join us. I've wanted to talk to you ever since I saw that you had initiated the destruction of a Confederate monument. I love that video. And so we're very excited to have you here. Tell us a little bit about you and about what you do.
Yeah, so more of my time lately has been spent being the mayor, and in my capacity as mayor, I absolutely tore down a Confederate monument. Destroyed it is a good word that you use. And that's important to note because it was destroying the morale of little black kids in my hometown. So that did happen. But as it pertains to the Black Male Voter Project, we are the world's, actually the nation's first and only national organization with the sole purpose of increasing black men's participation in electoral politics. And we don't show up like a traditional political campaign or organization. We look like the lived experience of most black men in this country who have no faith in the political process, mainly because the political process has sold us out for 152, almost 153 years, if you're considering when the 15th Amendment was passed.
Yeah. Well, look, it's an awesome organization, necessary regardless of whatever the year is. But the fact that we have additional voter suppression passing in so many states since the 2020 election, even more important. And the last couple of years have been super rough, especially politically. I think it's very understandable that people might be disillusioned. And so an organization trying to, you know, keep people invested in the system, super important. So thank you for doing that work.
Thank you.
Today on the show, dear viewers, we got a lot to talk about. We're gonna be giving you updates on what's going on in regards to Mar-a-Lago and the classified documents. The hits keep coming for the Trump legal team. There's been no good news for him, and I'm here for it. We've got updates on what's going on in both Russia and Iran. Massive protests. One of those has largely been crushed, but the other continues. We'll be giving you those details. You know what I love? I love when young activists troll right wingers who are trying to make the country actively worse. So we've got a great instance of that coming up near the end of our first hour. And then in the aftermath, fascinating, at least for me, polling data indicating that some of the MAGA base might be turning on Donald Trump for someone new. New Fox News, our Fox Nation special coming. Wait until you find out who's gonna be hosting it. And is Biden trying to end humanity by curing cancer? We're gonna debate that later. In advance of all that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream so the people know we're live, that would be great. And if you wanna send either myself or perhaps Mondale comments, tweets, super chats, and all that as we go, we will respond during our breaks. But with all that said, ready to start the show?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's start with a little bit of fun of the crazy variety. Donald Trump would really love to have you believe that he declassified all the documents that he stole. Now, he doesn't want to actually make the case in court. Let's be very clear about that. But he does have a novel legal and perhaps psychological theory as to why he did declassify those documents. Listen to this.
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it. And there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be.
You know, we've heard a lot over the past few decades about the power of positive thinking, but I never known that it could have so many important governmental ramifications that you could just, and then the documents are declassified and you don't have to go to jail anymore. Isn't that powerful? I love the mind. I find it fascinating and I love the idea that it could be such an important instrument in evading your legal responsibilities. Anyway, there's a lot more crazy stuff that Trump had to say in that interview with Sean Hannity, but I think this merits pausing for a second. Mondale, what do you think about the argument that all it took was a little bit of thought, maybe a wrinkle of his nose, and the documents are declassified?
I didn't know we had a chance to vote for Bewitched. Listen, I'm done taking a bath. For the rest of my life, I'm just gonna think about bathing. I'm just gonna think about bathing and it'll be done. You can't make this up. If this was put in a movie, people would be like, this is too far-fetched. This is not believable, but it's Trump. and it is believable. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe that Sean Hannity was sitting. Yes, I can. Let me stop. Sean Hannity sat across the table and allowed it. And it's like, how much money can you get from these people, and how far can you go with the lies you're willing to tell them? And they just follow it. So I'm super excited to see, you know, what Trump's going to think about, and it's going to happen. Maybe he'll think about paying people and stop, you know, reneging on his contracts. Maybe he'll think about paying workers. Who knows? I will say this, though, and as funny as it seems, we see some serious danger in this ideology, where facts don't need to be adhered to or believed. Like, this is not even an opinion. This is just a lie. And we gave him 4 years where we had mainstream media afraid to say he was lying. They made up an entire new thought about Donald Trump, and I think they called it untruths or whatever they were saying, why he was lying to people constantly, mm-hmm. getting people comfortable with the idea that whatever Trump says, you have to deal with it because he's president or now ex-president, and we have to make it valid in some way by talking about it. Donald Trump is the biggest liar. And that's hard to say in this country. This country lies a lot. But Donald Trump is the biggest liar I know. And the fact that he has so much support from right-wing folk, even though we're going to talk about some people souring on him, it is strange to have grown men sit across Trump and let him lie to them like that. And Sean Hannity keeping a straight face just shows how disgusting and soulless he is.
100%. Quick follow-up question for Sean Hannity. Can Biden declassify things at a mere thought? Could Obama have declassified things at a mere thought? Oh no, you don't think that, do you? You don't think that at all. No, this is super opportunistic, and I agree with you that it is dangerous. The fact that it's insane is what makes it dangerous to me in this very particular case. Let me explain. So, saying you can just declassify it with your mind will convince literally every single red hat wearing person who sees that interview. They will all believe it, okay? How many lawyers and judges will it convince? None. And Trump knows that. He knows that this is not a legal defense. It's not gonna work. He can't do it. They have no defense. That's why, as we'll get to, they're not even trying to imply in court that they declassified the documents. So this can't save him legally. So then why do it? If you could still end up in jail, what's the point of convincing your followers? Well, in theory, if you just wanted them to never ever accept the legitimacy of these charges, if you wanted them to perhaps respond with anger, irrational rage, maybe violence, then this would probably be the road that you would take. It's not gonna save you legally, but it might create the sort of social chaos that you find to be beneficial. And so I am a little bit worried about that, unfortunately.
John, did you just describe the beginnings of January the 6th?
That's basically what, it's kind of, it's round two. Everyone get ready, get your flagpole. But anyway, I am worried about that. And there is more insanity to add on to the psychic theory of this. Here is Donald Trump attempting to bamboozle his fans with a new theory about why the FBI might have raided him. Listen to this.
There's also a lot of speculation because of what they did, the severity of the FBI coming and raiding Mar-a-Lago. Were they looking for the Hillary Clinton emails that were deleted, but they are around someplace? Were they looking for the spying on Trump?
You had it.
No, they may be saying they may have thought that it was in there.
Okay.
Why? Why? Like they say on Twitter, no one, absolutely no one. Why would you bring this up? What sense does that make? Well, it makes no sense except that, I don't know, his fans love hearing about Hillary Clinton and how she's behind everything. Why would the emails be there? Why would deleted emails be in his house? Why would he have printed out and brought the I don't know. I don't know how to follow this sort of nonsense.
Trump is a very big, hugely hacker, okay? So he hacked Hillary Clinton's deleted emails and printed them out and sent them to Mar-a-Lago. He packed the boxes full of Hillary's email. This is unbelievable. I can't even call this logic. This is just rambling to the point where someone should check this man out. I think the tragedy is, like you said about the red hat wearers, they're gonna believe it immediately. There's gonna be someone tomorrow doing a special on how Hillary Clinton emails got airplane in to Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about a regular airplane, okay? This was a paper airplane that somebody threw them there. And I think it was the Clintons. So this is beyond a logic, and this is our political. This is political discourse for 33% of this country. This is their facts. This is all of what they're believing right now. So
yeah.
Pizzagate has just led to FBI in Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago's house looking for Hillary Clinton's email.
100%. Yeah.
Houseway.
Doesn't make any sense. So those are the alternative facts that he likes to talk about. Let's turn now to the actual facts. And we're gonna, for now, heads up to the director, we're gonna jump ahead to graphic two, because we gotta jump into this. Donald Trump received really bad information all throughout the beginning of this week when it comes to the special master. They thought that they had this amazing idea. They're gonna get Raymond Deary in there, and he's going to team up, to be a superhero team up with Judge Eileen Cannon, and all of his legal woes are gonna disappear. And that so far has not been the case. But I did remind you earlier this week that at the same time that they're proceeding with the special master, the DOJ was also appealing Judge Eileen Cannon's ruling to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. And that hasn't gone well for Donald Trump either. Federal Appeals Court panel just yesterday granted the Justice Department's request to resume reviewing classified documents seized from Mar-a-Lago. They said in a ruling that Trump, quote, has not even attempted to show that he has a need to know the information contained in the classified documents, which could in theory justify why he has to have them. There is no argument to be made for why that would exist. And so I guess they're being overly generous there, but also saying that he doesn't have it. Quote, nor has he established that the current administration has waived that requirement for these documents. So that's sort of like a little bit to the side of declassification. He has not been included in any sort of need to know thing for this. They say that Trump suggests that he may have declassified the documents, but there's no record that he did. And he hasn't provided any evidence to prove that he actually did. And by the way, here is what's so great about this. They're not just sort of rebutting what Trump and his lawyers have said. They're also kind of striking out at Judge Eileen Cannon. They note that the government is, quote, substantially likely to succeed in showing that she abused her discretion in exercising jurisdiction over Trump's motion as it concerns the classified documents. And so they're sort of responding. And bear in mind, the three judges on this 11th Circuit Court of Appeals panel, they come from a pool of judges of which more than half were appointed by Trump. I don't know the breakdown on these three, but we expected that he might have a really friendly reception on the 11th Circuit. They're saying what a lot of people were saying after Judge Eileen Cannon's ruling came out. This is bananas. Do you literally, like, could you Google the law? Because you seem unfamiliar with it. And so the special master is not helping out Trump. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals isn't helping out Trump. And Mondale, it's not looking great for Trump when it comes to this documents thing.
Yeah, I mean, we know for a fact at least one of these judges was appointed by Trump, right? And I think what happens is if you want to be taken serious as a legal scholar or as a judge or as a lawyer, you're looking at this and you're saying my hands can't be tied, or you can't muddy yourself with this. There was no legal reason for first approving a special master, and then on top of that for issuing the stay, I think this is the best thing that could happen as it pertains to anybody that was looking for an outcome or at least a signing of what's going to happen to Trump because of these documents, because of the sensitive nature of the documents he had at Mar-a-Lago that have since been seized. We think all of them have been seized. I think some of them may have been moved to New Jersey, but I think what we know now is the legal system is not completely destroyed in the United States as it pertains to national security and trying to fight for it. So we may have some brightness on the side of the Department of Justice as it pertains to investigating Trump for stealing documents. And
yeah,
we need to say he was stealing documents, because why else would you have that level of national security documents at your house? At your house, where you're also, you know, entertaining other nations that are hostile to our national security, that are constantly hacking our system, constantly worrying about if we have spies in their country. And you had this information, and I don't think Trump is reliable enough. And people keep asking, how long is this investigation going to take? I think we're not even asking questions that make me comfortable. Like, who has already Trump? Who's already seen the documents that Trump had in Mar-a-Lago? Who's he already shown them to? And I think that's a different conversation when you consider who's been to Mar-a-Lago since he left the White House.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes me uncomfortable too. I mean, the fact that basically none of his voters seem to care that he obviously committed these crimes, that makes me uncomfortable. There's a lot about this that I'm not a big fan of, but you asked an important question there. What actually justifies you having it? How did you end up with these documents? And it turns out Trump actually has a sort of new argument about that. Donald Trump would have you believe that everything that happened in regards to the documents at Mar-a-Lago was totally legal because he did his little Professor X thing and suddenly they're declassified. And yet, in his interview with Sean Hannity, he also seemed to project that maybe he's a little bit worried. And maybe he would like you to have you believe that actually he had nothing to do with the documents at all. Take a look at this back and forth with Sean Hannity about who actually packed the documents, why they ended up being sent to Mar-a-Lago.
You have the GSA, they pack all the boxes. Okay, did you pack any boxes?
No, they worked together with people in the White House. I don't know how you would classify them, but GSA was involved. That's government services, they're right. Fantastic people. And they packed them, and not only that, and they brought them in along with people in the White House. I don't know who they are, but there are a lot of people working in the White House. They packed them up, but not that clothing, massive amounts of pictures. You know, they take so many pictures every day, and they give you copies of all this stuff, and it's boxes and boxes of pictures.
You get what he's doing there, and which, like, Sean Hannity is giving him a massive assist, pretending that any of this is believable. Oh, the documents are mine. They're totally cool, totally declassified. No big deal. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't do it. It was GSA and it was NRO and it was National Archives and it was Corn Pop and it was everybody. I think my auntie did a little bit of it. I didn't pack any of the boxes. I'm not responsible. Unhand me. Like, hold on, Trumpy. If you're so confident, then just own up to it. You put the Kim Jong-un letters in the box. You gave it a little kiss, you put it in the box. Now all of a sudden, you had nothing to do with it. Okay, well, if you didn't pack them, who unpacked them? How'd they end up in your desk then, huh? Was that Stephen Miller? Was it the coffee boy? At some point, Mondale, I feel like he touched the documents, and I don't think he can really evade that clear truth for much longer.
It's so funny that the deflection in this guy is unbelievable. I mean, we're talking about classified documents and he's talking about pictures they took of him. Like, he's automatically changed the subject. Like, I had a basketball when I was a kid. Like, what are you talking about your basketball for, Trump? Like, anything to get your mind off of the fact that you had classified documents that the court, now that we know that it's two, actually he appointed two of those judges and one was appointed by Obama.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, so these are two people that he appointed that says, I'm not with this level of crazy. Like, there's no logic in this. We can't see for any reason why you had concern to have those documents. They shouldn't have been in your possessions. So even if you did the little mind trick thing where you declassified them, they didn't belong in Mar-a-Lago in your muggy basement or wherever you had them at. I would say library, but I doubt if you have any books. So this is not a reader. I think what happens is Donald Trump gave this little backwards comment. He said, there's a lot of people, great people that work at the White House and they packed this box up. These great people, of course they wouldn't have done anything wrong. But then in the same thing, he incriminates them as if they're at fault. Like, these great people, but they put these classified documents in here.
Yep.
The next step is, the next thinking is, oh, they set me up. These people had to-
Oh, totally.
Obama hired these people. These are Obama people at the White House, these great people, they set me up. And then, you know, his people run with it. Trump had nothing to do with these documents being in Mar-a-Lago or even lying to the FBI about all of them being turned over and telling the FBI or stonewalling the FBI for 5 or 6 months as they try to get the rest of the documents. And when they told him to put a padlock on it, they didn't even put a proper lock on it. So we knew, I mean, Trump knew, even if someone packed these documents and you didn't know about it, yeah, Trump has slept naked with these documents. They're his.
No, I don't want it. I don't like it. You landed on it. Like, okay, let's assume that people decided to pack classified documents in the box and you didn't do it. Then why'd you lie to the FBI and like hold on to them? Why did you pretend that you turned it? Like, none of this makes any sense. The only thing that makes sense is when he says that he didn't do the actual packing and the carrying and like, dude, you're Donald Trump. I know you didn't carry the boxes, buddy. You don't need to point that out. Anyway, I got one more little video I want us to watch because we were responding sort of almost in real time yesterday to these developments. Fox News had to do the same thing. Now, not Fox News nighttime, the opinion side. They eventually got to it. No, initially it was the straight news side. Harris Faulkner specifically, take a look at how she responds to the lawsuit that was filed yesterday. In real time.
So the New York State Attorney General has just announced a rather lengthy and detailed layout of the lawsuit that she is putting against Donald Trump, former president. Some of this is really inside baseball, unless it's your tax dollars in New York. And some people may even accuse it of being political because we're 48 days away from the midterm elections. And both presidents, the current and the past, are certainly being looked at to help candidates out. So we'll see how this plays out. We're certainly going to cover it and we'll bring you highlights as they happen. But the big headline in all of this is the lawsuit by the state of New York today, just announced by Letitia James. Let's move on.
I'm sure you would love to move on and not focus on that. Harris Faulkner, again, Harris Faulkner is not an opinion person on Fox. That's what they say. She is a straight news person. This is not about opinion. This is not about spin or narratives. It's just doing the news. We'll come back with highlights. Wait, she's talking right now. Letitia James is talking right now. You could just go back to it right now. But she cut away to say, it's inside baseball. It's kind of boring, numbers and figures and stuff. Who understands that stuff? Also, the election is really close. I know what you're thinking. Trump's not running. Doesn't matter. People like Trump. So I don't know, for a lot of reasons, this just feels really illegitimate. I'm straight news. Mondale, what do you think?
I think anything a president does is political. They should have covered this. This woman has 5 Emmys for being an outstanding newscaster. What was outstanding about this? You carry company line. This is opinionated. You think it may be inside of baseball, that's your opinion. You think it may be political, that's your opinion. Let's hear what the Attorney General of New York said about a previous president being in a lawsuit. Not just him, all of his grown kids, minus the one with sense. And I think it's ridiculous. Like this is how transparent that Fox is not news. Fox is not news, and we shouldn't even pretend at this point that even in the daytime when there's no so-called opinions going on, Fox is still finding a way to scale and a way to benefit Republicans. And I, for the life of me, can't understand that. But for to say, it's more money for them. I have no clue. It requires less thinking. So I'm flabbergasted that Faulkner, who says she's real serious news, behaved in this manner like this. And especially when you consider they only gave it 45 seconds and other networks gave it, you know, the full 38 minutes plus, talked about it and made it the news of their day. So the lie that she told is that, oh, Fox will continue to cover this story. No, they will not. The night crew will get to it and talk trash about New York, call it liberal communist, whatever they'll say, but they'll try to discredit this argument, just like Donald Trump trying to discredit the Department of Justice argument.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. You're not going to hear about it until the spin begins, and then that's going to be it. And the important, you have to do both on the right, the spin, but also don't give them the facts. That way, they have nothing mentally to go into the spin with to resist it. They just have to accept whatever it is that Hannity or Gutfeld says because they don't know the facts of it. It is a $250 million lawsuit with very specific allegations of fraud. You cannot hear all of that and not be worried. So you can't hear that. We can't have you hearing that. And so we're just going to move on. So she's got 5 Emmys. She might well have earned them. I have no idea. I don't know what they're for. By the way, we're criticizing her. She's still probably among the best people on Fox News because that's not much competition. But yeah, like she's not going to address the specific obvious overvaluations of property, the specific lies about whether a property is rent controlled or not. These are not things of, well, you know, valuation changes from time to time. This is a deliberate attempt to defraud insurance companies and banks. And that's why they're not going to actually dive into the facts. They're going to protect Donald Trump on both the opinion side and the supposed straight news side. Okay. Oh, sorry. Did you have another thought?
No, I think you're spot on. There's nothing else to add about Trump except for I want to know how many decent or dignified news anchors go to Fox to sell their soul. I remember when I was in young boy in high school, Faulkner used to be on the local news. She was in Greenville. Greenville is the largest really? City close to Enfield, North Carolina, right where I grew up. So I remember seeing her on TV covering the news in a way that I thought was fair and balanced. now she's on Fox doing what Fox do. So
yeah. Strange. My guess would be that Fox pays better than the local news that she was on. That would be my guess, but I don't know.
I'm gonna go with you, John.
Yeah, and by the way, really fast, one final thing. There can be a happy medium between 40 seconds and 38 minutes. We didn't play the full 38 minutes of it or whatever, because that'd be like half our show. But 40 seconds is obviously too low. That's crazy. And by the way, like, she can have opinions, she can express opinions, but then don't tell me it's straight news. I don't pretend that the damage report is straight news, because that would be ridiculous. Think about how many mocking voices I do. But like, you can't have your objectivity and eat it too. You need to choose a lane. Really fast, a little bit of tech behind the scenes. Did we lose Mondale? Seems like he's frozen. Okay, I'm gonna read comments for just another moment, and we'll see if maybe we can reconnect. And if not, I'll jump into it. Let's see. Lynn says, "How did the alleged Packers know which docs were magically declassified?" That's a good question, Lynn. That almost implies that it would be better to have a process where there's documentation of that rather than just a crazed man's random thoughts. I agree. Mickey C, the Silverhaired Dragon, says, "Even that BS excuse doesn't work for him. Positive thinking only works for those capable of actual thinking." Agreed. Marisa, maybe we can try. Oh, there we go. Yeah, there we go. Okay, Rialan says, "Hi, John and Mondale, Dragon Squad, Squirrel Gang." Great guest. Wait, the comment just, oh, there we go. Dragons and acorns in chat. I like it. Dragons should team up with squirrels. Dyson Strong says, "I held a TSSCI-SITK clearance. I never once thought about taking a document home. Could have made some money. Those things are hot on Etsy these days." Okay, unfortunately, it's looking like we are Mondale-less. So unfortunately, the show goes on. So I'm gonna jump into this. If we can try to reconnect with Mondale, then we'll do a brief reset when he joins us, okay? Okay, with that, and then why don't we jump into the news? Those were protests that began almost immediately after Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, announced a form of a draft happening in his country. They have not been doing well in their attempt to conquer Ukraine. More troops are apparently needed if they're going to do this. And so he is hoping to generate about 300,000, perhaps more soldiers. We're gonna resolve that, right? There we go, a little bit of tech troubles that we're gonna hopefully fix. But continuing on, and in response to that, hundreds were arrested. In the end, it says, so there was immediate response, hundreds had been arrested. Over 1,300 people were apparently swept up in mass arrests. You are not free to do these sorts of anti-war protests in Russia, unfortunately. And we have comments from some of the specific protesters. One, Vasily Fedorov, a student, says, "Everyone is scared. I am for peace and I don't want to have to shoot. But coming out now is very dangerous, otherwise there would be many more people." And yes, so when you see these protests now, or when you saw them initially in Russia following the invasion of Ukraine, it is obviously impressive, but understand that it would be larger if it were a free society. If people felt like they were not going to be arrested, potentially locked up, beaten, those sorts of things. And so you already see many though. You have another, Oksana Sidorenko, a student who says, "I came to say that I am against war and mobilization. Why are they deciding my future for me? I'm scared for myself, for my brother." We call, oh, and then by the way, we have this great statement by the Vesna Youth Democratic Movement who says, "We call on the Russian military in units and at the front line to refuse to participate in the special operation or to surrender as soon as possible. You don't have to die for Putin. You are needed in Russia by those who love you. For the authorities, you are just cannon fodder where you will be squandered without any meaning our purpose, and I couldn't put it any better myself. There is nothing to be gained for the Russian people, for any individual Russian soldier in conquering Ukraine, in removing their democracy, in devastating their civilian population. All there is damage to the Russian military and countless Russian dead. And of course, the Ukrainians as well. And many Russians seem to agree. And so we can't be that surprised that in the aftermath of that call up, the search for how to break arm at home apparently became much more popular inside of Russia. The BBC actually interviewed a few people who were looking to intentionally injure themselves so they would not be forced to participate. Others are fleeing the country. Prices of one-way flights out of Russia surged following the announcement. Images on social media appeared to show long queues at border posts, so they want to get out of there. And it's not just regular Russians who don't want to participate. There were these Russian YouTubers on a channel called Popular Politics that did a prank. They called the 32-year-old son of Dmitry Peskov, the press secretary of Vladimir Putin. The pranksters were pretending to be recruitment officers, and they told Peskov that he'd been drafted and needed to attend a medical examination the following day. He responded, "Obviously not. You must understand it is not right for me to be there. I have to resolve this on a different level. If I have to defend my motherland, I will step up, no problem. But you need to understand the political implications and nuances of my situation," which I will grant an allowance that potentially something was lost in translation there. But that sounds like the child of a powerful person, a child, 32-year-old, or the son of a powerful person who feels immune from all of this real world stuff, the implications of what the regime gets up to. They're not gonna go there to be killed in some needless war in Ukraine. I don't know, maybe he'd be totally ready to defend Russia or whatever. And maybe he's good, maybe he doesn't want there to be a war. I don't know the guy. But anyway, yeah, no, they don't want to do it. Now, his dad, the press secretary for Putin, put out a statement telling a Russian news site, Podyam, that the conversation had been taken out of context and that his son would make the quote, only right decision. Okay, put a pin in that. We'll see in 6 weeks if he's served in Ukraine. I'm willing to bet he's not going to. But I love the idea that it was taken out of context. What context would make that any better? And I feel for the guy. I don't want any Russian to have to go to Ukraine. They shouldn't be there. The ones who are there should leave immediately. But this is also a great demonstration of how this is not a conflict designed to hurt the powerful in Russia. That's why it's not a full draft, by the way. That's why it's a limited draft for those who already have military service, which is already an inequitable distribution across the Russian population. This is designed to protect the powerful. Welcome back, everyone. Mondale's here. Mondale's cool. Glad to have you back on the call.
It's good to be back. I was a long 10 minutes away from you, John. I didn't realize I was gonna miss you so much.
I know. I feel a lot more comfortable. I started to sweat. This is what 2022 is like, man. The internet's just terrible. Skype is like literally the worst program on the planet, and yet we rely on it. Skype is like the Democratic Party. It's just so bad all the time, but like, I guess for now, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Actually, yeah. So with that, we do have a lot of important news to talk about. So why don't we jump back into our roundup of international news? Protests continue in Iran after the death of Mahsa Amini, 22-year-old, who died in police custody under, questionable circumstances. And what the regime in Iran could really use right now is to seem like they're taking this seriously as the protests continue into their sixth day with no sign of stopping. And yet that is not the approach that they are taking. And I want to give you a little bit of a look into a Twitter thread that Christiane Amanpour released in the last day. So she said that they were planning to do an interview with President Raisi of Iran. They had been apparently planning it for like literally weeks of planning, 8 hours of setting up for it. He's gonna be his first ever interview on US soil during obviously a really important time for Iran. Doesn't show up initially for the interview, which is a little bit suspicious. 40 minutes into it, An aide comes over and tells Christiana Amanpour that the president was suggesting she wear a headscarf because it is the holy months in Iran. She politely declined, saying that this is New York, where there's no law or tradition regarding headscarves. Christiane pointed out that no previous Iranian president has required this when she has interviewed them outside of Iran. The aide made clear that the interview would not happen if she did not wear the headscarf, saying it was a matter of respect, and referred to the situation in Iran, alluding to the protests. And so she did not give in. She walked away and the interview didn't happen. And you can see a shot from the interview. So while many people are in the streets about this woman dying, what the morality police did to her, they decided that rather than like going a little bit easy on a female journalist during this time, they're instead going to insist that people outside of Iran wear the headscarf. And when they don't, walk from the interview. Mondale, I feel like that is sending a very strong message, a message I find terrible and seems really poorly timed, but it's obviously intentional what they're doing here.
Yeah, this is talk about feeling outdated or making yourself seem extreme. You walk away from an interview with one of the top journalists in the world and this moment about a headscarf. I think this just proves exactly what Amini's father said. They didn't let him see his daughter after she had passed. They only showed him her feet and head, and he saw bruises on her feet. This was not a heart attack. This government and the morality police need to go away. And I applaud the fact that majority of the protesters, from what we're learning, were women with their hair out, because you can't dictate morale, and when you try, this is what happens. This president really didn't read the tea leaves. Like, you walked into an interview, or like 40 minutes late to an interview, and you sent an aide to tell someone to cover up. Outdated. All of the problems with dictators were on display by walking away from Christiane Amanpour's interview. So I feel sad. Yeah. That one, our Iranian brothers and sisters are going through this with this morality police, and I think people are saying this is not gonna die easy. This is not gonna die down. People are not okay with what happened, and there's some extreme rhetoric that we're hearing right now for in defense of Amini. Like, people are saying, if you killed our sister, we're gonna kill you, and that is a threat of dictatorship. And Iran, of course, is not the only country dealing with this type of pushback from trying to restrict in this moment what we're seeing as women, but in general about human rights and what people deserve. So I think this president has to be the dumbest person next to Trump at this moment as it pertains to Kennedy.
Yeah. I don't know that, you know, people in Iran will see what happened with this interview and how it fell apart, especially because, as we were just talking about, the internet has been largely cut off. Again, this is what tyranny is. But yeah, it sends a message that there will be no accommodation. There will be no, you know, effort to bridge the divide, no diplomacy. And there's other reasons to believe that too. So 7 protesters have already been killed. And as the most recent update is that the Revolutionary Guards have called on the Islamic Republic's judiciary to prosecute, quote, those who spread false news and rumors about the death of Amini. We have requested the judiciary to identify those who spread false news and rumors on social media, as well as on the street, and who endanger the psychological safety of society, and to deal with them decisively. And so, okay, they're choosing violence. That's what they're choosing. This is a threat to the dictatorship, and they're saying we are going to go down with this thing if necessary. And I'm very worried about what will happen, Mondale. For all, like, 7 people have died. At any moment, they could just unleash machine guns and start wiping out protesters. And that's my greatest fear, is the mass violence against protesters rather than the relatively targeted murder and assassination of protesters.
Yeah, and I think they've already started that, not with bullets, but they're shooting metal pellets directly at people in very close range. This is how some of the protesters have been murdered. The other ones have been beaten to death. So they absolutely have chose, Special Guard has already chose violence, and it's unbelievable the level people are willing to go. Mind you, that this woman's so-called crime was she had her hair out.
Yep.
She had her hair out. We are killing people. They are killing people because of hair.
Yeah. The morality police.
The morality police.
Yeah, which shouldn't exist. But if there was a justification for morality police, it would be to hunt down law enforcement that violates its sacred oath to protect and serve, and instead victimizes the very people that it should be serving. Unfortunately, that's not what we're seeing. Okay, we are closing in on the end of the hour. I think we can fit in one more story. So why don't we, whenever we're ready, we'll jump into this short video.
That this election is not even going to be Democrat versus Republican. It's crazy versus normal. So it's really something.
I think that's a good assessment.
I have to say, I agree with John Gibbs there. I think this election will be crazy versus normal. This is John Gibbs, who is a Republican House candidate. We can put up this photo here, and he, you gotta give it to the guy. Looks good in a suit, looks very serious, has some serious stances that I think it's time for us to dive into. Because back when he was in a school in Stanford, back in the 2000s, he apparently liked to post on the internet, in particular on his personal page at Stanford. He had a think tank he had founded called the Society for the Critique of Feminism. And here is a little bit of what that think tank was operating in. He said, some argue that in a democratic society, it is hypocritical or unjust for women, who are 50% of the population, not to have the vote. This is obviously not true, since the founding fathers, who understood liberty and democracy better than anyone, did not believe so. In addition, all people under age 18 cannot vote, although they too comprise a significant portion of the population. So we cannot say that women should be able to vote simply because they're a large part of the population. And he doesn't just found this view that women shouldn't be allowed to vote or hold office on the Constitution. He also invokes the Bible, saying the Bible clearly articulates the idea that women should not teach or maintain positions of power. Why is it that women should be the ones to take care of the children? The female species were the ones selected by nature to rear children. Now, we can catch you up on some of his more recent stances. This is going back a bit to his time as a student. But Mondale, what do you think about his position on female voting?
I think his position on life, he's a grift. Let me explain something to you. He's talked about liberty and what the forefathers, I didn't have forefathers, I had one father. What the forefathers knew better than most. They also said black people couldn't vote. They also said if you didn't have land, you couldn't vote. There's no logic in his thinking. And comparing eight people under 18 not being able to vote to a grown woman who has the age of maturity, it's ridiculous. And beyond ridiculous, John, the tragedy of this person is that he has been endorsed by Trump, which is enough in a lot of cases to win an election. This way of thinking is absolutely disgusting, especially when we see a Supreme Court that is so hostile to women's rights. So this, yeah. We hear Iranian government talking about false news. We hear Trump talking about fake news, and we hear crazy people calling sane people crazy. And I think all of this is not a huge leap to understand that we find ourselves in this space because people are quiet and politically nice. I'm not. This guy's an ass.
I certainly agree. By the way, so he's endorsed by Trump. There's still the possibility that we should consider him far more progressive when it comes to women than Trump. As far as I know, John Gibbs has not been alleged to have sexually assaulted literally dozens of women. So he has that going for him at the very least. But anyway, more recently, he has echoed the great replacement conspiracy theory, saying that immigration is now being weaponized as a political tool by the left in order to replenish their voter base. It's insane. He's obviously for Second Amendment rights, that's fairly standard for them now, wants to repeal abortion rights and reform elections based on what Trump had to say about the 2020 vote. So that's the more recent stuff. So bear in mind, while we're debating stuff that he said as a student, his more recent stuff is bonkers too. But really fast, when it comes to that old stuff, his spokesperson says that he wasn't being serious back in 2000 and 2001. He was just posting those things online to provoke the left on campus and draw attention to the hypocrisy of some modern day feminists. And I want to give his team extra credit for choosing to have a female spokesperson come out and defend him, saying that women shouldn't be allowed to vote. That's just a nice little chef's kiss moment right there. So Mondale, should we buy that? So either because he made the comments 20 years ago, maybe he's changed, which is possible. Or maybe he was just trolling before social media even existed outside of GeoCities. Are either of those good responses?
I listen, even if those are his responses, no, they're not good. We know they're not good. And if those, if this is the way you joke, then you are trash. I know it's not Friday, but can I throw him in the trash? But I would say this, what about his comment about Hillary Clinton leading a satanic ritual? What about his comments about the 2020 election being rigged? All of this is disqualifying for leadership, period.
I didn't even know about the satanic ritual thing, but why not? They all have to believe in Q at this point. So anyway, that's John Gibbs. These are the things he said, the things he believes. We will leave it to you to decide if he's qualified to be a congressperson. With all that said, that is unfortunately all the time we have for our first hour of our show. Thank you to everyone listening on the linear platforms or on the podcast. For those of you on Twitch, YouTube, and other platforms, we have a lot more to get to, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. The AC is on here, but I guess another heat wave is starting in LA. I can't put my glasses on without them fogging up, and I don't want to look ridiculous. It needs to cool down in here. Maybe it's the news. The news just gets you a little bit hot sometimes. But anyway, let's see what's going on out there in the audience. Early heads up that immediately following the damage report, you can join Dr. Rashad Ritchie as well as Dina Dahl on Indisputable. They're going to be going live right after us. We are, however, going to put a very difficult decision to some of you. Those of you who are our tier three members on YouTube, it is that time of the month again. We are going to be doing our members hangout, which starts at 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. We hang out, we chat, sometimes a little bit of politics, mostly not. We'll probably end up talking about like House of the Dragon and Rings of Power or something, but it's a lot of fun. And if you'd like to become a tier three member or upgrade your membership, you can hang out with us. That said, what's going on in the audience? Mickey C, the silver-haired dragon, says MAGA equals making attorneys get attorneys. Marisa, wasn't that the title of our podcast yesterday? It was, yeah. Nice, Mickey. Oh, geez. It's so transparent. The lawyers are not going to claim in court that he declassified the documents because that would be lying and they'll lose their ability to practice the law. Mondale, it really just seems as simple as that. And they want Trump's money, but they would also like to still be lawyers when this is over.
Yeah, anyway. I think that they can say, oh, everybody deserves an attorney, but they're not willing to sacrifice the ability to be an attorney. So we're here with this goofy, and we'll let him play in the forest, but we're not going out there.
Armed Liberal says, the people who view the damage report refer to themselves as the Dragon Squad. And one of the cultural traditions is that each person tends to pick a dragon name for themselves, says something about their personality, where they live, that sort of thing. So they suggest names for the co-hosts. Armed Liberal has suggested either Mayor Dragon or Anti-Confederate Dragon. But anyway.
Ooh, I like both. Can I be Bearded Dragon though?
I do like Bearded Dragon. That's good. You have an impressive beard. I will definitely give you that. You've earned the name. S. Parks sent in a super chat saying, hi, John. 6 months as a dragon, longtime TYT supporter. Thanks for keeping me and my wife sane in this pool of insanity. We appreciate you and your guests. May I claim S. Parks Dragon, a derivative of my name? Consider it done. Thank you. Dragonheart says two were Republicans appointed by Trump, one was appointed by Obama. Thank you. Yes, Mondale had referenced that. Nate G, in reference to Trump setting up chaos over him potentially being indicted, calls it January 6th, 2, breaking the election coupaloo. Thank you for that. Jeez.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.